Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Tuesday afternoon. It's daily ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080. The Fan, we have two stops to make, both in the National Football League. The first is going to be on the East Coast, New York, where the big announcement this morning was that Daniel Jones is going to be starting ahead of Eli Manning this week. Pat Shurmur confirmed and announced that this morning. So Ryan Dunleavy, who covers the team for NJ.com, he's on Twitter at RyDunleavy, joins us now to get the latest. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us out here in Portland, man. I want to start it. It feels like on social media, Giant fan is all about this move. Is the difference between this Eli benching and the last one with the previous regime just about having a Daniel Jones in waiting?
Yes, you nailed it exactly. You don't need to be here in the thick of it to understand. It's really as simple as last time they went to Geno Smith, they had a rookie at that time, Davis Webb, who they ended up cutting a year later. The plan was to go to Geno Smith and then bridge the gap to Davis Webb. The idea of benching him for Geno Smith, who had failed already in New York with the Jets, was kind of a retread. That angered Giants fans. How could you bench Eli Manning, disrespect him, and go to Geno Smith, of all guys? Daniel Jones, the Giants fans have had 4 or 5 months to understand this was coming eventually, sooner rather than later. The way Jones played in the preseason only built the hype. They're ready to move on. They know this season's not going anywhere.
Well, I'm curious to ask, too. I mean, this is the second time that it's happened, and I understand the difference there. But I think every fan base goes through a moment where a legendary guy gets benched or you got to move on. And it's tough, I think, for fan bases, for a guy that won two Super Bowls there. Where's the emotional mix? I mean, is everybody just basically ready to move on because we've seen it and he's a shell of himself? Or is there still that emotion involved?
No, there's still plenty of emotion involved with Eli Manning. It's as emotional an athlete goodbye here as maybe I've ever seen, and that includes, you know, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera. There's a lot of emotion attached to Eli because he's so polarizing, because the last 7 years have been so bad and there's been so many excuses around him. There's still plenty of loyalists who believe if Eli Manning had better receivers right now, he'd be playing better. He finally had an offensive line after 7 years, and now he doesn't have receivers, and now the defense stinks. So there's still plenty of people who feel like he's getting scapegoated, plenty of fans who feel like he's getting scapegoated now for the team being bad.
Yeah. Ryan Dunleavy is our guest, covers the Giants for NJ.com. Eli Manning is now on the bench, and Daniel Jones is going to be starting, the rookie quarterback out of Duke. You know, when they drafted him, it felt like a lot of people, Giants fans and football fans in general, really questioned that draft pick. And then he went and had himself a great preseason, Ryan, and I think it's kind of changed things a bit. Do you feel like the expectations now are raised a bit on Daniel Jones, given what we just saw in preseason?
Absolutely. The story around the NFL, right, this whole August was that preseason means nothing. Well, it didn't mean nothing for the Giants, because it totally flipped the national narrative of their quarterback. I mean, Pat Shurmur was basically taking a victory lap after the third preseason game for picking Daniel Jones when everybody else said, oh, you know, he's a second-round pick or a third-round pick, or he would have been there at 17 or he would have been there at 30. The Giants saw their guy. They had conviction. They took him, which is what you should do. But to see it flip before he even plays a regular season game, to have guys, you know, analysts now coming out and saying, oh, maybe I was wrong about this guy. It's crazy how quickly it's flipped. It shows you how magnified everything is around the Giants, around Eli Manning, around New York. Let's see him play a let's see him carry it over to the regular season here this week before we settle. It was too soon to say he was no good in April, and it's too soon to anoint him the next Eli Manning right now.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I am curious to get one other, you know, non-Eli Manning question in there, and that's on Saquon Barkley. I just think the running back position is so fascinating, and we just saw Ezekiel Elliott hold out and finally got the big contract that he wanted. And Barkley, I mean, he's been dominant despite having not a ton around him, and he's still producing huge numbers. How do you see that, I guess, going? I know we're probably still a year away from maybe when he starts demanding stuff, but has he said anything, and how do you think it plays out with the Giants when he's ready for that contract?
what's nice about Saquon Barkley, if you're the Giants, one of the reasons Odell Beckham isn't here is because he didn't always say the right thing. And Saquon Barkley always says the right thing. So, you know, he said everything about he's got to earn that contract over the next 2 years. He can't even negotiate it till after the 2021 season, would be the earliest 2020 season, would be the earliest possible he could negotiate it. So he's still a long ways off. Look, when it comes to it, he's probably going to be the first $100 million running back. I mean, that's where we're headed. He's phenomenal. He does everything they need him to do. Pass blocking, rushing, pass receiving. He's going to be their leading receiver again this year. So, yeah, he's going to demand a huge contract, but I don't even think it's going to be a demand. It's not going to be like an Odell Beckham situation where they drag it out and they say, prove it to us. And then it's, you know, hand-wringing a couple weeks before the season. They're going to want to wrap this guy up as soon as possible because he's the face of everything they want their franchise to be.
Absolutely. Eli Manning on the bench, Daniel Jones starting for the Giants. Ryan Dunleavy covers the team for NJ.com. He's on Twitter at Ryan Dunleavy, and he joined us here on the ticker for the latest in New York. Ryan, thank you so much for the time out here in Portland, man. We appreciate it. And buckle up. It's going to be a fun one, I'm sure, with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting ride. Thanks for having me.
All right, from one NFL story, let's go to the next one over there in Pittsburgh. A couple stories to get to, and Jerry Dulac's going to join us now, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and he's on Twitter, at Jerry Dulac. Give him a follow for all things Steeler-related. Let's start with the trade. First of all, what are the details that we know of Minkah Fitzpatrick going from Miami to Pittsburgh?
Well, fellas, first of all, it was surprising to me in this regard because historically the Steelers have never believed in trading away a future number one. Dan Rooney always believed that, you know, that was not the way to go. And so to see them do that was surprising to me. The fact that they went out and got an elite safety was not, you know, they had an injury to Rashawn Davis, a torn labrum that they knew was going to be problematic. They did place him on IR. Now, I don't know if it's season ending or not. I was told that it wasn't. But Mike Tomlin acknowledged today that that was a, I think he used the word, significant component of why they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, since the end of camp, they wanted to add another safety, but not necessarily a starting safety, more like a number three safety, you know, for depth purposes, and that they could use it maybe in their sub packages. But when Minkah Fitzpatrick became available, they really liked him last year in the draft. Ideally, they would have loved to have taken him as it were. You know, they took Terrell Edmonds, another safety, 17 picks later. They were never going to get it, Minkah Fitzpatrick. But when he said he wanted traded, that picked their curiosity big time. And so they went out and swung the deal. They sent a couple other draft picks. They got Fitzpatrick and a fourth-round pick, which, judging by the way the Dolphins are playing, will basically be a low third-round pick. I think they got a seventh pick as well in return the following year, 2021. So I'm a little surprised they made the deal, but, you know, I think it points up – well, it points up one of two things, fellas. I'm not sure which it is, that they believe that Mason Rudolph can step in and do an adequate job and we still believe we can win, or it means we need to rely on our defense in a running game to help – you know, I don't want to say bail him out, but to help him through this period. So, in either event, I know Mike Tomlin's really excited to have Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player, and there's no doubting that. I think people were just surprised. I mean, we were having the conversation on the show yesterday of thinking this could be a blessing in disguise. Pittsburgh maybe has a down year, and you can go draft Ben Roethlisberger's replacement if you end up with a top five or top 10 pick. Now that clearly doesn't seem to be their strategy moving forward. How much do you think this also, I guess, solidifies their standing behind Ben Roethlisberger? Even though he's 37, he's going to miss the year, and you're not sure what he's going to look like next year. Does it solidify that, hey, we think this guy's still got a couple of years left?
Oh, yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I was told yesterday there's no reason to believe that his injury is career-threatening. You know, Ben came out yesterday with a statement and said that he plans to be back next year and to finish out his contract for sure. So I don't know, you know, now we'll see how the rehab goes and everything. And once they operate to see maybe the extent, you know, of the injury, we still have not been told. I do not know what it is. But I think the other thing they're going to find out, you know, regardless of how they finish with their draft position, these next 14. tell them whether they believe Mason Rudolph is the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger. When they drafted him, they never used those words, but that was part of it last year when they took him, you know, they traded up in the third round to get him. But, that, you know, they're going to find out. You know, that would have been, if Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get hurt, you know, 3 years down the road, say, they would have been in no better position to evaluate Mason Rudolph as the heir apparent or not. But at least now they get that opportunity. So you hate to say one of the good things about his injury, but that is one of the things they will be able to determine whether he is the guy going forward once Ben is done.
Yeah. Jerry Dulac is our guest, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's taken a left turn and given us the lowdown on Ben Roethlisberger. An amazing job right now by Jerry. I want to get your thoughts on Mike Tomlin. He's never had a losing season. He's the third coach that they've had since 1969. They are a stable franchise as they get. I'm just curious, though, what's the pressure like for him? Let's say Mason steps in and this thing goes sideways. They don't win very many games this year. Is he in trouble this offseason, or do you think the ownership and the way that they're run allows him maybe another year or two?
Well, I think probably it's easy, if that's the case, it's easy to give him and them a pass because of Ben's injury. You know, he's only started 0-2 one other time, and that was in that was a couple years ago when they started 0-4. They had to win their last three games to get to 8-8, and he actually did a good job that year, you know, recovering them from that 0-4 start. So I don't think because of the situation with Ben, it's going to create any more pressure. If anything, it to me, it's only going to help him if he's able to keep it together. If Mason Rudolph, you know, plays the way I really think that they believe, I'm not going to sit here and say they're an 11-5 team, but you know, or 10-6. But who knows? So that's what we're going to find out. But I think either way, fellas, I think Mike Tomlin gets a pass this year because of the injury.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are tired of talking about it out there, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. What has been the reaction over the last month to all the Antonio Brown headlines?
Well, I think the basic reaction is, you know, to everybody here, they just, you know, kind of shrug their shoulders and go, "Not, you know, these other teams are finding out, well, Oakland in particular, finding out exactly what the Steelers knew. And what they discovered in the, you know, toward the end of, well, basically all of 2018, but it really blew up at the end. Now, of course, all the other allegations, that's a whole nother matter. But in either event, you know, the headache that was Antonio Brown, they probably feel, you know, here they're kind of they're not laughing at him. They're laughing at the situation that other teams are experiencing. When I say they, I don't mean the Steelers. I mean their fans. You know, they're kind of chuckling at the other teams experiencing Antonio Brown in Oakland. They're probably still angry at the way he just kind of jilted them and pulled a fast one on them by bailing out before he ever played a game. But, fellas, I don't see it working. I don't care about New England, the Patriots way. I don't see it working there. I'll be shocked if it does. He's not going to change his way. We'll still see what the league feels about this lawsuit against him. And then the others that just keep piling up here in Pittsburgh. It just paints a bad, bad picture of Antonio Brown, and it's what everybody here found out last year.
Jerry, as quickly as possible, I'm going to let you go on this one. A video came out yesterday. A doctor is filing a lawsuit for unpaid services to him, and a video came out a while ago that Antonio filmed. And basically, while he was being checked out by the doctor, he kept farting loudly. Did he do anything like that around reporters?
No, he never did. You know, fellas, I did a radio show with Antonio Brown for 5 years here on the ESPN station, part of the Steeler Radio Network. And I will tell you that I basically liked Antonio Brown. I did. He was a nice kid, you know, but it just got worse each year with him. And but he was never that type of player. He was, you know, he was just selfish. He became aloof. You know, he's the ultimate narcissistic diva, the worst that I've seen. And that monster just kept growing. But I never saw him treat anybody that way. He was not a dismissive person, you know, or a crude dismissive person. So, you know, that picture that's being painted, I'm not disputing it.
Yeah.
But he never, he never treated people, especially the media people, that way. He was just dismissive of them, especially the last year when he would just kind of walk away from them. But not meanly, not crudely,
just kind of, again, just kind of go on his way and ignore him.
Yeah, Minka Fitzpatrick is a Steeler. Roethlisberger out for the year. And the latest on the thoughts of Pittsburgh with Antonio Brown. Jerry Dulac covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also covers the PGA Tour. And as he mentioned, the Steelers Radio Network. He's on Twitter, at Jerry Dulac. Jerry, thank you so much for the time, man. We always appreciate it out here in the great Northwest, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Well, thanks, fellas. A good chat with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.